Our help and our expectation is in the name of Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 415, the stanzas 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul. O my God, in thee I trusted. Let no shame now o'er me roll. On my enemies be shame, oft without a cause transgressing. But all those who trust thy name, honor with abundant blessing. Psalter 415, the stanzas 1 and 2. scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10 through the end of the chapter. Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. But before we will read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Thus.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness, in the middle of this week we may have the opportunity to enter into thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would gather with us, that thou would come among us with thy presence of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in the midst, and thou art faithful. And Lord, there is no reason in us. We're sinful. We're polluted. We sin against thee, Lord, and we sin against all thy commandments, and we are unworthy, and thou could righteously pass us by. But Lord, we beg thee in thy wrath, remember mercy and come among us. Lord, may we together as a congregation lift our eyes unto thee and cry unto thee. Lord, remember us for thy name's sake. Come among us, work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, and that thou would conquer hearts. Lord, thou hast made us and created us perfect in thy image. We have left thee never to return. And thou hast called after our covenant head Adam when he fled from thy presence. Where art thou? And thou art that same God. Thou art that one who seeks and saves lost sinners, polluted sinners, ungodly sinners, enemies. Thou art the only one who can translate from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Thou art that only one by thy almighty power and in thy grace that can enroll sinners into that battle, into that army under thee, to become by thy grace and by thy spirit those true Christian soldiers, those soldiers who begin to fight against sin, self, the world, and Satan, and who completely depend upon thee for thy grace and thy Holy Spirit, for without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we beg thee then tonight that thou would richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, conquer hearts. By nature we are only fighting against thee. We are enemies. Oh, wilt thou then change enemies into friends and take away all the resistance, take away all the weapons, and may we then become humbled, low, guilty, lost, bowing at thy feet, and yet looking unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, not only for this life, but especially for our never-dying souls. O Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember the whole congregation, all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. O, we beg thee, have mercy upon them. Take away those hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God, hearts that long for a little token of thy favor. And Lord, thou knowest how we have come up to thy house tonight, where there are those poor, needy beggars that long for a little instruction, for a little comfort. Lord, thy word is profitable for all things. Remember those who are going astray, thy foolish sheep. Lord, bring them back. Remember those who need to be instructed, instruct them from the truth of thy word. But remember also those who are hungry and thirsty, who long for a little crumb for the master table. Lord, thou knowest those little dogs who are so unworthy who thou could righteously pass by, and yet they beg, Lord, a little crumb, a little token of thy favor, a little crumb of thy mercy, a little crumb of grace for my soul. Lord, we beg thee, come among us tonight and bless thy word, that there may be that comfort that thou only can give by thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help then in preaching, Lord. Each time is a new time, and we are completely dependent upon thee. All thy servants were sons of men. May there be no hope or expectation in men, but may there be much prayer and hope and expectation in thee, thou who art the King of the church, thou who can give grace and thy spirit to proclaim, to listen, and to apply. Lord, we ask then that thou would take away all that would be a hindrance to preach and a hindrance to listen, that thy word may be proclaimed in its truth and in its fullness, and that it may enter into ears and enlighten minds unto the truth, and that hearts may embrace the truth, believe the truth, and that there may be the living according to the truth for the glory and the honor of thy name, and for the comfort of sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them, Lord. Thou art that God of all comfort. Man is a miserable comforter, but wilt thou comfort? Remember also the family who tomorrow will also bury their brother. And we ask that thou would help thy servant who will be speaking thy word. May it be in truth and according to the meaning of the Spirit, and bless it, Lord, and comfort that family. Lord, remember them in thy mercy. Sanctify this calling to their hearts and to all of us, that we have no continuing city here below, that we are sinful and guilty, and that we must meet thee, that it's appointed for each one a time to die and to stand before thee, a holy and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty. Oh, wilt thou teach us, Lord? We know these truths. We know the doctrines. We know the historical truth. But we beg thee, bring it into the heart, that there may be that urgency, that there may be that cry, what must I do to be saved? And that there comes an urgency to be reconciled and lead to that only mediator, him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, may he also be proclaimed tonight, and that sinners may be drawn unto him. Lord, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit. We beg and pray thee, remember all those who are sick and afflicted. We think especially of Mrs. Scholten in Bethany Care Home. Lord, remember her. Look upon her in mercy. Remember her family. Remember all those in Bethany Care Home. O Lord, we beg thee, bless thy word richly there. Remember others also with cares and needs for the body and the mind. Remember also Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, who had surgery yesterday. Lord, wilt thou care for him, give him healing? And if it is in thy will that his life may yet be spared for some time, but above all, Lord, remember his never dying soul. Sanctify this calling to him, to his family. Lord, may there come that need in their hearts, that they need to be reconciled unto thee, that they need that great physician, that only one who can wash and cleanse them from all their sins. Lord, we beg and pray thee then that thou would give us a good hour tonight in thy house, in thy favor, and in thy blessing, Lord. Come among us. Help also our brother in Brant County also to preach thy word. Help all thy servants, Lord, and that through the foolishness of preaching, that thy kingdom may come, that children would be born again, teenagers, adults, older ones, and that thy people may be edified in that most holy faith, and that they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, look upon us in mercy, also our whole denomination. Lord, give that thy word may yet speak with power, and that sinners may become sinners, and that lost sinners may become those who are led by thee to that only Savior, and that there may be those blessings that come from above. Lord, pass us not by. Take not away the candlestick, the light of thy word from us, but may thou yet have dealings with us, that thou would work in hearts, teach and instruct and bless thy word, not only in the preaching, but also in all the instruction at home. Lord, may thy word be opened. May fathers be prophet, priests, and king, and that thou would bless thy word at home, but also in the school. Lord, have mercy. Bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully. Lord, we beg also on the mission field, give a blessing among Jew and Gentiles. Lord, may there be much prayer tonight, that thou would open and that thou would give all that is needed for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners and the edification of thy dear people. Lord, thou could righteously pass us by. We're sinful, we're polluted, we're unworthy, but have mercy on us. Look upon us, hear us, and answer us, and visit us because of him, because of thy dear Son who is at thy right hand, that advocate, that ever interceding and thanking high priest, the King of the church. O Lord, look upon us through him and his righteousness, and wash and cleanse us of all our sins in his all-atoning blood, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue with singing from Psalter 40, all six stanzas. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. Psalter 40, all six stanzas, and the collection for tonight is for the Terra Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we are all in a battle. We are all in a spiritual battle. And by nature, we only are fighting against God and against Jesus Christ. By nature, we are dead in sins and trespasses and enemies of God. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, seeks and finds sinners, and he makes them, or we could say he enrolls them, to be true Christian soldiers under that faithful captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are made true Christian soldiers. What battle are they in? Well, we read that in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Christian soldier must fight. Paul exhorts them to be in this battle, and he exhorts them, as we read in verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the soldier needs to put on the armor of God, the armor that God has provided. Yes, God provides it all, and yet they are commanded to put on the armor and to stand firm in the battle. And as we go through these different armors, we notice one particular point. The Christian soldier doesn't have anything to protect his back. He has no armor on his back. Why is that? That's because he should never turn and flee. He is to face the enemy. He is called to be in that battle and to fight, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. And so we see in Ephesians 6 that Paul describes a Christian soldier. How did he come to this? Well, some say that Paul was very familiar as a prison seeing the Roman soldiers. And he may well have observed them for many, many different times and days. And then he sees the armor of the Roman soldiers, and he sees an illustration of what God's people, those sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, what they should be in the battle and what they need. And so he gives instruction inspired by the word of God that they must be in the battle, that they must fight the battle, that they need to put on the armor of God, all the armor. And remember, we began this year with the Lord's help on New Year's. We spoke about what it is to be a Christian soldier. And so first, you need to become a Christian soldier. You need to be enrolled under that captain by God's grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. You need to put on the armor. There's a battle. There's a war. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, we will consider the first armor from Ephesians 6, verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14, we read, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. And so our theme is, be armed with the truth. That's the theme. Be armed with the truth. Four thoughts. First, what does it mean? The meaning of having loins girt about the truth. What did Paul mean? We need to first understand what he's writing about and then to understand further. So we need to understand what he meant by having the loins girt about with the truth. Second, the vital importance of truth. It's absolutely important, congregation. We need to know the truth. What is the truth? And third, we will consider the supreme authority of the truth. It's not only vital and important, it's also there is a supreme authority of truth. And then last, with the Lord's help, we will consider the experience of the truth, the experience of a soldier in the battle. And so, be armed with the truth. First, the meaning of what Paul is speaking about. Second, the vital importance of truth. Third, the supreme authority of truth. And then, the experience of truth. So, the meaning of having the loins girt about with the truth. And so, Paul begins with the truth. He commands the Christian soldier, God's people, those little lambs and sheep, recipients of grace, what we read in Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. What does Paul mean? What does Paul see when he looks at that Roman soldier and he thinks of what that Christian soldier must do and be? Well, then we need to understand how a Roman soldier was dressed. A Roman soldier had a very long robe that would go down to his feet. And then he had to, in the battle, he had to take that robe, he had to gather it up, and he had to tie a belt around his waist. It had to be girded into a belt around his waist, around his loins. And so that way, because in the battle, the Roman soldiers, it was hand-to-hand combat. This would allow him so that he could use both hands in the battle. For example, he could hold the shield in one hand, and he could hold a sword in another hand. And so he would have both hands to be able to fight in the battle. The soldier needed, therefore, to gird his garment up, tie it in a belt so that he could run, so that he could free. He wouldn't trip, he wouldn't fall, so he'd be alert, he'd be ready for battle. And the belt around the waist, the girdle, or the belt, whatever you want to call it, seems so unimportant. It seems so unnoticed, and yet it's so important. We think the sword, that's so important, or the shield, or the helmet, or the shoes, but this belt, this girdle, this belt of truth is very, very important. This enabled that soldier to be able to fight in the battle, to fight freely, to be alert, to be able to quickly attack or to defend himself. And the girding, he could then walk freely or run freely. Right, children? If you would have a long robe and you had to run, you would trip and fall. So this soldier needed to gather up his garment into a belt. But what did it mean? What does it mean to gird? To gird the garment, to girdle the garment into a belt. What did it mean? Well, Paul sees a Roman soldier with his garment secured to his belt, and with the weapons in his hands ready to battle and to fight. But girding in the Bible, it also is a metaphor. It's not only a literal action, remember, it's an illustration of a soldier, but of a Christian soldier. Girding is a metaphor. What does it mean? Well, we read about it in the Bible, that they gird their garments to be able to walk, to run, to work, to be able to be at war. But the Lord Jesus also spoke about this in Luke 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And then he said also in that same chapter in verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So what's the emphasis with girding? What's the explanation? It means that you need to be ready. You need to be alert, ready to fight, ready to be in the battle. That Christian soldier may never sleep. He may never turn his back, but he needs to be ready, ready for battle. Why did he need to gird the loins? What does the loins mean? That's the middle part, the strength of a man. And in the Bible, we read about the loins in two different places, which speak of one, the shaking of the loins. In Psalm 69, verse 23, it expresses weakness. The shaking of the loins is about weakness. But also, we read, smite a man through the loins. It means to destroy. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 11. So as a girdle about the loins of a man, so a Christian soldier needs to have the truth around him to arm him to be ready for the battle. This gives him strength in the battle. This gives him protection. And so I have to ask you some questions. Are you a Christian soldier? Or are you still fighting against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still in that army under that horrible Captain Satan and fighting against Jesus Christ? Or have you been delivered by God's grace and enrolled as a Christian soldier? And if you are a recipient of God's grace, and if you are a Christian soldier, are you alert? Are you ready for battle? Are you armed with the truth? And maybe you ask, how? How must we be armed with the truth? What is the truth? Well, again, what we read in Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. So that's an explanation. But now we come to our second thought, the vital importance of the truth. Children, teenagers, adults, congregation, the truth is absolute, of vital importance. And it's not just a coincidence that Paul begins, when he begins with the armor of a Christian soldier, that he begins with truth. Because truth is very important. Because how can there be true faith without truth? It's impossible. We cannot have true faith without the truth. And we need to serve the Lord in truth. We need to have the truth to be able to fight in this battle. The truth is essential. The truth is of vital importance. It's foundational. The truth is foundational. May I ask you, do you live by the truth? No, not your truth, but do you live by the truth of the Word of God? So what does Paul mean here? To be armed with the truth. That means that we need to have our whole being according to the truth. What's our whole being? We need our mind according to the truth. We need to have our heart according to the truth. And we need to live according to the truth. That's what it is to be armed as a Christian soldier, ready for battle. Our whole being armed with the truth. And so we will begin first with the mind. We need to have the truth in our mind. And by nature, our minds are what? Do we understand the truth? Do we know the truth? No, by nature, our minds are darkened. Darkened by sin. We don't know the truth. We don't see the truth. We don't even care for the truth. We don't love the truth. And so we need that power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to the truth. To the truth. We need the truth. We need to understand it. We need to know it. We need our minds enlightened according to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. What the truth is, it's vital. Vital importance to have the truth. What do we read about unbelievers? Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. There we read about unbelievers and considering their minds. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And we read, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Are you still blinded? Are you still blinded by the God of this world? Or do you know something of the truth? Has God, by His grace and the Holy Spirit, taught you something about the truth? To be armed with the truth of God's Word is absolutely foundational to be ready, to be armed, to be in the battle, to truly fight in the spiritual battle against all those forces of wickedness, of evil, and even against your own flesh. We read in Psalm 19, verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Truth, it is of vital importance. And we need our minds enlightened to the truth of the Word of God. We need to understand the truth. We need to know the truth. Do you beg the Lord to teach you truth? Are you like the poet as we read in the psalm, "Lead me in the truth and teach me"? Is that you? Do you know the necessity to be armed with the truth against all the spiritual powers of wickedness? So first we need our minds enlightened by God to the truth of the Word of God to be armed, to be ready in the spiritual battle. But that's not enough. It's a blessing, congregation. It's a blessing to have the truth, to know the truth, to see the truth. But that's not enough. We need that truth in our hearts. We don't only need it in our mind. Yes, it begins by being enlightened in the mind, and it goes into the heart, to the heart. We need to embrace it. We need to believe it. We need to have it in our whole being, our being, in our hearts. We read in 1 Samuel 12, verse 24, "Only fear the Lord." And now listen. "And serve Him in truth with all your mind." No, with all your heart. We need the truth enlightening our minds, and we need it in our hearts. We need to believe it. And by nature, we only have unbelief. Has God said, is this really the truth? We need to be enlightened to it, and we need the grace in our heart, a renewed heart, but also true faith to truly believe it and to surrender to it. We need our minds armed with the truth, and we need our hearts armed with the truth. And this is to guide us how we live. The third part, our whole being, minds, heart, and how we live. We need to live according to the truth of the Word, what we believe in the Word, and we need to live according to it. It's not enough to have the truth entering our minds. It's not even enough to truly, really believe it, because if we really, truly believe it, we will also live according to it. And this calls for self-denial and surrender. We need to engage in the battle, Christian soldiers, and you need to be completely armed. The truth is of vital importance. Now, who are those soldiers? Let's pause for a moment. Who are those soldiers? Sometimes in a battle, you have moles that enter into the battle, and they're not really soldiers. They're actually fighting for the enemy, or they're infiltrators, or they're double crossers, or spies. So who are the real, true Christian soldiers? They love the truth. They study the truth. They want to know the truth. They teach the truth. They believe the truth. They embrace the truth. The truth is their guide. The truth of the Word of God is their guide. We read in Psalm 15, 1 and 2, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." So he lives by the truth. He knows the truth, he believes the truth, and he lives by the truth. Truth is foundational, congregation children. Truth is absolutely essential. To be a true Christian, you need to know the truth, you need to believe the truth, and live according to the truth. And that is the only way to be armed, to fight in the battle, to stand firm, to be ready for the glory of God, and to protect your own self. We need to be armed in the mind, we need to be armed in the heart, and we need to walk according to the truth. Or in other words, the truth in knowledge, the truth in faith, and the truth in practice, our whole life. Truth is foundational, congregation. We must know the truth. We must study the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And we need to live according to it. And if we are not going to live according to the truth, we can never, ever be a Christian soldier that is alert and ready and armed in the battle. Without the truth, we will only perish. And so Paul says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. May I ask you, who's an easy prey? Who's an easy prey for the enemy? Who are they? Who's an easy prey in that spiritual battle? Who is easy for the enemy to attack? Who? Those who know not the truth. Why are people destroyed? What did Hosea write in Hosea 4 verse 6? My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. For lack of the truth. One of the greatest dangers is that people come to church and they hear, they listen, but they come only to feel good, to give their conscience quietness, to feel good. But do they come to hear the truth? The true truth that leads to what? The truth leads to true worship of God. And God calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. And when the truth enters our mind of who we are, of who God is, and of who that Savior is, and when it enters into our heart, it leads, and this is by the grace of God and by the Spirit, it leads to true worship. Worship. Some say doctrine's not important. You don't need to teach all the truth of the doctrine. They say it's not true, not important. Just teach God's word. Is that really true? Congregation, you can never teach or explain or preach the word of God without doctrine. Because anytime you open the word of God and you speak about the truth, it's doctrine. The word of God is doctrine. It's truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he taught doctrine. He taught the truth. John 7 verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught the truth. He taught doctrine. And listen to what Paul said in Romans 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. They don't have the truth. Armed with the truth, it's of vital importance. Open your Bible to Ephesians 4, verse 14. It's absolutely vital, and especially today. We think of all the winds of doctrine blowing upon this earth today more than ever before. But what do we read in Ephesians 4, verse 14? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So we need the truth. The truth is absolute, of vital importance. We need to be armed with the truth. We need to teach our children the truth. What's the truth? How do we know what the truth is? We'll come to that in a moment. But in Bolivia, they have many, many different types of fake, false, counterfeit money. And if you had to study and try to keep up with all those different false, counterfeit money, you would never be able to keep up. So what do they teach the people? And we've seen it. You give them 100 bolivianos, a $100 bill, we would say, and they take it and they examine it by a light. They're taught and trained to know what a true dollar bill is, what a true boliviano is, because they can see by what it is. They know what the authentic is. And every thing else is false. Yes, we need to teach about different things, but we especially need to teach our children in school, in the home, and preach especially the truth. They need to be soaked because the truth is of vital importance so that when they hear other winds of doctrines, they may listen and know that's not the truth. They need to know the truth. We need to be armed with the truth. It's of vital importance. But today, many claim to have the truth. So what's the authority? What's the supreme authority of the truth? Well, then we go to our third thought. We need to be armed with the truth to fight in the battle. Evangelizing in Chilliwack, but also in Bolivia, I met a man once who said, "My friend, you need to read two books. Two books of crucial importance because they have the supreme authority." What books did he tell me to read? He told me to read the Quran and he told me to read the Bible. I've met Jehovah's Witnesses. They have their literature also. All truth, they say. I've met Mormons. They say you need to read the Book of the Mormons. I've met Adventists. They say you need to read the Bible and the Book of Ellen White. And etc., etc. What is the truth? What confusion? What winds of doctrine? So what is the authority? Children, do you know? Do you know what's the authority of the truth? It's the Word of God. The Word of God that can make you and me wise unto that only way of salvation through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. And Hira said in John 20 verse 31, "But these are written." What? The Bible. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." No man has the final authority. No pope. No man. No person that calls him a prophet. No person that calls himself an apostle today has the truth. No elder, no deacon, no minister. We don't have the authority of the truth. We can only share the truth of the precious Word of God. There's only one perfect truth that is of supreme importance and authority, and that is the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Or you could say the word of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You see the power of the word? It can convert a soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Congregation, we need to understand. And we say we do, but I want to emphasize it. The Word of God is absolute of supreme authority. It's not only vital importance, it also has absolute supreme authority over everything. Absolutely everything. It has the ultimate. It has the supreme authority. It has the final say, not man. No matter who that man is, the Word of God has supreme authority. And we need to be armed with the Word of God to be able to stand in the battle. Or we will become easy prey, or we will fall in the battle. We need to be careful. And I say that it's much of also of men's explanations. Men's perceptions, especially of those that say, "I've been so enlightened, I know all the truth." We need to compare it with the Word of God. We need to be like the Bereans. Is it according to Scripture? Is it according to what God says? Because God has the supreme authority. I don't care what doctrine they teach. We need to hold it to the light of the Word of God. Is this according to what the Lord says? And if it is, then we may say it's the truth. And if it doesn't, we must say it's not the truth. If you cannot find the principle of the teaching in the Word of God, you may suspect it. And you may certainly suspect it when it brings honor and glory more to men than it does to God. More to man than to Him who is the King of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be armed with the Word of God. We need that strength of the truth around us. It's of vital importance. And the Word of God has supreme authority. The truth is what God says, not what man says, no matter who that man is. And you and I need to read the Scriptures. We need to study the Scriptures. We need to meditate on the Scriptures. And it's even good to memorize the Scriptures, to know the Scriptures, right? Children, remember the Lord Jesus Christ? Teenagers, He was in the desert for 40 days and He was tempted. He was tempted by Satan. And how did the Lord Jesus answer that prince of this world, this God of this world who tempted it? He answered him with the Word of God. As it is written. As it is written. It is written. Each time He answered him by the Word of God. We need to be armed with the Word of God, with the authority of the Word of God. Satan isn't scared of you and me. Satan isn't scared of you and me separated from the Word of God, but Satan trembles. He trembles when the Word of God speaks, because he knows the Word of God has supreme authority and power. Remember Daniel's three friends? Remember them? They were tempted, or you could say they were called to bow before that idol. Daniel's three friends, there was a battle, there was a warfare going on between good and evil. Why did they not worship that golden image? Why did they not bow? Why? Because they knew the Word of God. They knew the truth. Their minds was enlightened. Their mind was enlightened to what sin was. That God is the only one to be worshipped and not to bow to any images. So they knew the truth. But more, they had it in their hearts by God's grace. They believed it. They loved it. They loved the God of the truth. And they couldn't bow. They couldn't sin. So they had their minds enlightened and their hearts was captured by the truth. And that is how they stood. That is how they lived. They stood on that day. Rather choosing to go into the burning fiery furnace, if it was the Lord's will, than to sin. You see an example how to stand in the battle armed with the truth, minds enlightened, hearts believing, truly believing, and living according to the truth. Recipients of grace, soldiers, Christian soldiers, do you desire to stand? To stand strong in the battle for the glory and the honor of God, you must obey this command. Stand therefore. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. The only standard of authority to stand in that battle is the Word of God. Remember the reformers? Think of Martin Luther. He stood in a battle. He stood in a very fierce battle for the truth of the Word of God. He fought. He fought for the truth of justification by faith alone, by grace alone, by Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. And remember when he was called to come to that conference? And he was called to speak and he was called to recant. What did he say? Unless I am convicted of the error by the testimony of Scripture, I cannot and will not retract. For we must never act contrary to our conscience that is tuned to the Word of God. Here I stand. God help me. Amen. Martin Luther was armed with the Word of God, with the truth in that battle for the glory of God. God revealed the truth to Daniel's three friends. God revealed the truth to Martin Luther. And they knew the truth. They were convinced of the truth. They loved the truth. We could say they ate the truth. They became united to the truth. And they loved the truth. Truth in the mind is not enough to stand in the battle. We need to know the truth, believe the truth, and live according to the truth. Maybe you ask, how can I have the truth? I hear I need the truth. I hear its vital importance. I hear of the supreme authority. How can I have the truth? I need the truth, Pastor. How can I have the truth? by God's grace. God teaches sinners by his word and by the Spirit he teaches. He enlightens their minds. And remember, even the disciples. We read that the Lord enlightened their minds unto the truth all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were empowered to preach the precious gospel. Think of Peter on the day of Pentecost, how he spoke, how he preached, because he was enlightened to the truth, but also by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you need the truth. Read the Bible and pray and beg and ask the Lord to teach you the truth. May I ask you a question? Have you ever read the Bible and you had a thought of something, of how something should be or what you wanted to do, but you read the Bible and you read the truth and the authority of the Word of God spoke to you? May I say it? God spoke to you and gave light upon the truth which you thought was different. You thought this or that, you wanted to do this or that, but by the word of God, the authority of the word of God, you saw it, your eyes were opened, and you submitted. You submitted. You confessed. You were going to do that, but you can't do it anymore. You can't. You see, it's sin, it's wickedness. Or you thought this truth, but then you see by the word of God, that's not the truth. This is the truth. Do you know what it is to submit? To submit to the supreme authority of the Word of God. Those are those Christian soldiers. And they long to be taught more and more about the truth. And they need the truth. And need to be armed with the truth in the mind, in the heart, and to live according to stand in the Bible. They submit to the power and the authority of the Word of God. And they surrender. And we are called not to living according to what we think or what our opinions are. We are called to read the scriptures and to surrender to the absolute authority, to the word of God in all things. That's what it is to be armed with the truth. We read in 2 Timothy 6, verse 13, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we heard a little something of the meaning of what Paul meant, what it is to be a true soldier, the example of being girt with the truth. We heard of the absolute vital importance of the truth, of the word of God. But we also heard of the supreme authority of the truth. Has your mind been enlightened to the truth? Do you believe the truth? Do you surrender to the truth? And do you live according to the truth? Or are you still living according to yourself? Then you are not a Christian soldier. Then you're still an enemy. Still wanting to live according to your truth. You're an enemy of God and of the Savior. Or have you, by God's grace, surrendered? Radically renewed in your whole being, your mind, your heart, your everything. And you study the Word. You want to know the truth. And you especially want to know Him who is the truth. That's part of the Christian experience, the soldier. And we speak more about it in our third thought. But let us first sing. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. That I may steadfastly obey, give me an understanding heart. 325, the first three stanzas. Thank you. armed with the truth, the meaning, the vital importance, the supreme authority. But what's the experience now of those soldiers? It's one thing to be a soldier, to be training, to be home. But it's a complete different experience to be in the battle. To be in the battle fighting the enemy. Those soldiers, those Roman soldiers had such different experiences being in the battle compared to being at home. And the Christian soldier has experiences. And so I'd like to conclude tonight of what it is to be a true Christian soldier and the experience of being in the battle. A Christian soldier experiences something, a truth. What truth? Conviction of sin. They experience conviction of sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophet that teaches them by the law that they are sin and nothing but sin. He convicts them of self, of who they are. He convicts them of who God is, that he's holy and just. And that spirit also convicts them that they are absolutely unrighteous, guilty, polluted, worthy of being eternally cast out. But he also teaches them, that spirit, of one who is the only captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, as that prophet, convicts them and convinces them of who they are. And they confess, as we read in the Song of Songs, I am black. And he leads them also and teaches them of who he is, that they may see in him they are comely. They become confessing sinners, those soldiers. They confess, I'm wretched. They confess that I long to do good, but I don't do good. I'm just unfit. I'm so polluted. And Paul confessed, as we read in Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. They want to fight. They have that willing spirit, but that flesh is so weak. So often they're so foolish soldiers, so often falling in different ways, not fighting as they should be. They experience the reality of this truth in the battle, their sin, and they long to fight. They long to stand for the glory and the honor of God, but they feel so incapable, so polluted, so wicked, so sinful, so black. Are you a Christian soldier? Do you know a little something of this truth? They all know something of this truth, that I am sin, convinced and convicted by the word, the truth of who they are. It's a mirror before their eyes, and they begin to see who they are. Something else. What did they learn in that school of grace? What did those soldiers learn? Do they become better and better soldiers? Do they have a whole rank of medals? Look at all my medals. I've been in the war for so many years. No. What does he teach them? Do they become better? No, they become less capable in themselves. What is a really good soldier in the army? One who doesn't trust himself, one who's not confident in himself, but follows the general, that follows his command unconditionally. Not using his own will, but just listening and following and obeying, because he doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust his own ideas. And those Christian soldiers, they come to know more and more, less trust in self. Peter trusted himself. But what a lesson he learned when he fell so deep. And then he learned, kept by the power of God. And those soldiers become less dependent upon self. They go lower and lower and lower in self. And at the same time, they begin to trust more and more and more in that captain of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know something of that? That you don't dare trust yourself. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust anything of self, but that you need him to guide you, to lead you, to help you, to protect you, to do everything for you. Jesus teaches this to his soldiers. Why? So that he becomes everything for them. And that they need him for everything. That he becomes the king. That he becomes, as we read in the word, the captain of salvation. Following him, looking to him, trusting him, and him for everything. Nothing in self anymore. Do you know this? Do you confess this? This is what it is to be a true Christian soldier. To be armed with the truth is to be behind the captain. To be following him, listening to his voice, needing instruction, all from him. Because I'm a fool. I need wisdom. I need everything from him. Christian soldiers also experience something else. They experience liberation. Liberation. Imagine being a soldier captured in the Second World War and put in a prison camp. And maybe you were there for 2 years, but then liberated. The doors are open. The Canadians come. The Americans come. The people from England, they come and you're liberated. The doors are open. Imagine the joy. Imagine the joy of being able to step out and you thought all you would do is perish and die, liberated. What joy. But those Christian soldiers, they also experience liberation. Who liberates them? How? When? By regeneration. It begins with generation, delivered from the power of Satan and sin, and enrolled under him, under his grace, enrolled into his army. What liberation? Do they feel so liberated immediately? No. They feel even more under slavery. But the Lord teaches them. He convinces them of their sin. They become guilty. They become lost. And then, oh, by the word and by the gospel, by the preaching, to know and to see and to be led to him who is that captain, that he has the power to give liberty to everything, to all things, to hear that there is a Savior for sinners. Has that ever become sweet to your soul that was so bound up in sin, so loaded with all kinds of guilt, a load of guilt? Do you know a little taste of liberty, of a hope, of even just a hope of being freed, of being liberated by him, of looking to him? He's the one. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. He's the only one that gives liberty. He has the power. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And now listen. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. There is liberty, freedom, or I could say there's deliverance only in him and that captain of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what sweetness for those soldiers. Nothing in self, but to taste a little something of the sweetness of the milk of the gospel that is in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are taught, those soldiers, that they're not good soldiers, but that they're unrighteous soldiers. And they need to be righteous to be able to enter into the eternal kingdom, to be forever with that captain and the Almighty God. But how? How? They can fight, and they can fight, and they need to. They need to be armed with the truth, but they need him. They need him to be the righteousness. And oh, what sweetness in the soul when you may see that he is the Lord, our righteousness. This is the truth that those soldiers experience in their heart, in the school of grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And they become so hopeless to ever enter into the kingdom. Why? Why? Because they see they're polluted. They can never enter into that kingdom of themselves. No, those Christian soldiers don't become completely dependent on self. All there that they have, not at all. They just become more lost, more guilty. But they also see one way only to enter into that eternal kingdom. And that is, they need to be washed. They need to be cleansed. Because he is to purify eyes to look upon them, that almighty creator of the heavens and of the earth. And they can fight against all sin, but it keeps coming. They only see more filthy. And they have nothing to cleanse themselves. But then to see, led by the Spirit in that battle, to see something, to see what? Something that is so precious. Something that gives peace. Something that gives profound joy. You say they already have joy, a taste here and there. But when they see something of that blood, of that all-atoning blood of the Lamb of God, that fills their soul with such deep, profound hope, because they see that precious blood. That blood has the power to cleanse me from all sin, and I have nothing but that blood. And so they cry. They beg those soldiers. They beg, Lord, one drop upon my soul. May that Lamb of God that shed that blood on the cross, may that blood be upon me, washed in that blood, that I may enter into that place of eternal sweet communion where there'll be no more battle, will be forever peace, and they will live with truth and be complete and full in truth forever and forever. Congregation, we need the truth. We need to study the truth. We need to be armed with the truth, but we need to be in the truth. Who's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be in him. We need to believe in him. That's what sets free. It's only him and him alone. Nothing else can set free. The Lord said in John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who's the truth? He said it. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and life. I'm the only way back to God. It's all through him. This book, the precious Bible, is a book of truth. It's all about him who is the truth, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, you need to be delivered. You need to be in the battle, but you need to be delivered out of the battle. How? Only through him, through that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to be armed with the truth? It's to know the truth, to believe the truth, and to live according to the truth. But there's something more. What is it? It's to know the truth. To know whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the truth. You need to believe the truth. Who's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe the truth. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be connected to him. And you need to live abiding in him, following him, surrendering to him, obeying him, following him. That's what it is to be armed with the truth. Simply, it's to be in Christ. In Christ, in the battle, armed with the truth, in the mind, in the heart, and living according to it. The truth of the word, but him, being in him. That's what it is, to be armed with the truth. What do those soldiers also learn? Sometimes those soldiers are not so alert. They're not so alert. They fall, they're wounded, the enemy attacks, and they're not ready. These soldiers also learn this truth so often, so short in everything, so sinful, so lukewarm, so cold even, so hard again, so little zeal, so little love, so little living for the glory of God, so worldly. They know this truth. And they only find hope in what? In him. And in him alone, in that advocate, in the captain, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, we need to be armed with the truth. But first, you need to be a Christian soldier. You need to be brought in by the power of regeneration, translated under that good captain. And then you need the truth, armed with the truth. And you need to be in the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him, and only in him, is the victory. And all those who by his grace are enrolled and who learn something of these experiences, they are the soldiers. And they fight, as Reverend Vogeler said, with broken legs, depending upon the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be victorious, not because they're good soldiers, but because of him, and because of him alone. Amen. Let's close in thanksgiving. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou work wonders mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, and translate kingdoms, translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness, from all falsehood and lies, into the truth, into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and teach and lead and guide in the truth and unto the truth. Thy dear Son, who said, I am the truth. Lord, we beg thee that thou would apply thy precious word. Those who are yet lost and who are only living for self, may they be convicted and convinced of the truth, that they are sin, and that their enemies, lost, guilty, and that they become on their knees begging for mercy. But Lord, also remember all thy dear people. Lord, may they be looking unto thee as thou hast called unto them. Look unto me and be ye saved. And Lord, that they may have that only hope and live dependent upon thee, needing thy grace and needing thy help and guiding and protecting hand every day. Bring us safely home, Lord, and may we thank thee for thy precious word, for the truth. May we be armed with it for the glory of thy name. Forgive all our sins in preaching and in listening, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 4:17. Psalter 4:17, stanzas 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied, with grace thou wilt provide. Psalter 4:17, stanzas 1 and 3. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.